And welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. Kevin Swanson with you today. And one of the most important things that we do as a ministry is to sponsor our Family Economics Conferences each year. Next year, two conferences sponsored, one in Spokane, Washington, the other in St. Louis, Missouri. And Eric Weir is going to be one of our important speakers. And he has been at a number of our conferences. And we are trying to revive a family-based economic system in the 21st century, something that, friends, has been going on for a long time. It's not as if this is new. It's just that since about 1840, 1850, since the rise of the corporations, the rise of the government systems, the socialist-controlled systems, it's been very, very difficult for family economies to subsist. And we are doing the best we can to bring these things back, and we believe that that this is possible in the 21st century. And there are thousands and thousands of families around the country that are gathering at these conferences, places like St. Louis, Missouri, to talk about ideas and to share some of the things that they have done and the things that they have found to be successful. And every family economy really needs to be a family economy. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you have a corporate job. It doesn't matter if you got two or three incomes. It doesn't matter if two or three of you are working in the corporation. The important thing is that the family begin to recognize themselves to be a family unit or a family economy, and then develop your streams of income that eventually serve the family. Eventually, of course, after a while, you want to see some kind of family inheritance working its way through the generations as well. So that's kind of the family economy that we present at these family economics conferences. Eric Weir is part of Weir Capital Investments. He has been working with small businesses and investment properties for, well, virtually all his life, ever since he had a lemonade stand as a young boy. And his stories are very, very engaging. Eric, welcome back to the Generations Broadcast.
Well, thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be here.
Eric, you know, this family economy thing is slowly getting off the ground. And I think the important thing is that people realize that this is a family endeavor. I mean, this is more of a psychological thing. It's a way to look at your family than anything else. I mean, you worked in the corporate world. You worked as your own entrepreneurial endeavor. And the point is you got to eventually incorporate your family into your life. And that really should extend into the economic aspects of your life as well. It's part of reintegrating the family into the unit in the 21st century. I know you've been through this yourself.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a stretch. I mean, you went from the corporate world to the entrepreneurial world and then into the family economic world. So you kind
That's
of
exactly
worked
right.
your way towards the family economy. What is it then? You know, what is that family economy? What have you worked your way into over the years, Eric?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, when you say that, when I first started, I was in corporate America.
Yeah.
I worked with a large Wall Street investment bank.
Yeah.
And then I began, as our children were born, I began just to have a different vision for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then begin to make changes where we could integrate my children into my business and into the things that we're involved with on a daily basis. And also begin to create things for them to do so they can contribute to the family economy.
Yeah. In other words, your family kind of hang out with you.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, every time I see you, you've got some kind of family hanging all over you. And, you know, I think that's it. You're just with your family.
I'm with my family all day. I mean, I
yeah.
take my children to meetings if we're going to see just about anybody. If it's something with real estate, if it's something with investing, if it's just going to get office supplies, if I'm teaching them budgeting, I'll have one child to keep the receipts, and we can do an Excel spreadsheet at night and then allocate expenses. And I just involve them in every aspect of life. And as I've been doing this over the years, I find the only thing that's limited me or limited them has been my underestimation of what they can actually do and contribute to.
You know what's funny, Eric, is that I work with my children all day long. I think I work with every child every day in some
right.
capacity. I mean, somebody's doing something. I mean, it may not be everybody working on the radio program. I probably today have three of my children helping me on this radio program. We probably have, you know, one or two of our other children doing the cooking and, you know, I mean, they're just doing all kinds of stuff. The household includes way more than, just, you know, the major effort of the household. And it turns out the radio program is a pretty important aspect of the household. But our children are involved in so many other things. I mean, we also have streams of income, you know, six or seven projects going on at any point in time.
Right.
For example, one of my daughters is raising husky dogs and, you know, ask me how that's going another 2 years from now and I'll be very excited about it. Right now, not as excited. But, you know, I mean, we've got so much going on all the time and I'm getting comfortable with it.
Sure.
How about you?
It's the same thing. I mean, it's a house that's just full of life. It's full of activity. We'll spend our evenings. I'm talking to my boys. You're 14, 12, 11, and 8. We'll talk about what do you want to look like? What would you like to accomplish? Do you want to own a home? When we talk about the value of being debt-free and paying cash. So I have a 14-year-old setting goals to pay for a house. My 8-year-old has similar goals. I'm like, well, how are you going to get there? Okay, that's your vision. Now, what's your mission? What steps are you going to get there? And there are things that they can do today. And they're smaller, but they're building principles and precepts and patterns of diligence and application and problem solving that they can, you know, fine tune in time and build upon as the years go on.
Now, Eric, you are putting together some resources. In fact, you'll be speaking at the conference on these issues that have to do with keeping our lives in balance. And that
That's
means
right.
keeping our family economy in balance, which, by the way, involves every aspect of the family. I don't look at the family economy as just being the income aspect of the family. I look at it as involving the spiritual aspect, the emotional aspect, the relationships, the hospitality that we do, the charitable things that we're involved with, the boards that I'm a part of, the ministries I'm a part of, as well as some of the income sources that our family brings in. So it's sort of a lot of different aspects of the family, but you've got a way to look at this. I think it's helpful. And I think it's helpful to maintain balance in your life, which is something that
Absolutely.
Entrepreneurs, corporate dads, I think, all have a struggle with. And you've got the five F's. Why don't you just detail the five F's for us?
Sure. The five F's, imagine, if you will, a wheel. And the hub of the wheel is your faith. And all the other spokes are really is your faith externalized.
Yeah.
So there are five F's. It's your faith, which is the core. And out of your faith comes your family, it comes your finances, it comes your fitness, and also the friends you choose to have. So what we look at, we call it just the five F's, your faith, family, fitness, finance, and friends, and everything is driven from your faith, which is everything else is just external.
And your church relationships have to do with your friends and your faith, I guess. That's kind of a combination.
Well, it's really your friends, your faith, and your family.
Yeah.
So it's your church family. You can look at it. It's also your family of origin.
Mm-hmm.
And your friends. So it's kind of all intermingled. And just like a wheel, if one is out of balance, then it begins to affect other areas of your life.
What do you think is your average dad's problem? Do you think he's more focused on his finances than the other four F's?
Anything like me a number of years ago, that the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So where I was off balance is I was very focused on finances, and it came at the expense of the other areas. And, you know, the Lord worked with me substantially and humbled me, and I was able to kind of rebuild with faith as the core. And then the other areas are just externalizing that. And that's an easy mistake to make. It's one where many of us will find ourselves from time to time. And that's an ongoing process of evaluating, you know, how are you doing and talking to your spouse. How am I doing in these other areas in your family? And just begin to be proactive in all five areas.
It's a matter of adjusting and adjusting and adjusting all the time. I don't think anybody's got this thing entirely in balance. This is like riding a bicycle. You've got to, you know, kind of work the balance issue and steer the thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's like flying an airplane, if you will. If you take off from Atlanta and you're going to go to Los Angeles, the airplane on autopilot is adjusting almost the entire time for changes in barometric pressure and winds, et cetera. And it's the same thing in life and trying to maintain balance.
You want to know where I'm weakest?
Where?
It's kind of hard to figure it out because I'm weak in a lot of these areas. But I'm probably, you know, I think faith is something, you know, I've got to get back to all the time. I've got to be in the Word more. I've got to be in the Word more. I know I got to be in the Word more. I got to be in prayer more. You know, that, those sorts of things, constantly reminding myself. That's where I'm adjusting the barometric pressure in my life quite often as I fly this thing called me. But hey, I think fitness is my biggest challenge because I'm so busy. Okay. I'm trying to work with family. I'm trying to work with my ministries, the faith issues, the finances. You know, I got all this stuff going on, but fitness is a challenge. But you'll be very proud of me. Spent the last 3 days on vacation, worked out every single day.
Very nice.
Yeah, learning how to do that. What do you think? What's that deal where you go up and down? You know, your feet are going up and down all the time. It's kind of a ski machine kind of thing. And I did that for half an hour, and for the first time in my life, I ran a mile and a half without stopping.
That is impressive.
Is that amazing?
That is.
That's the first time in my life, and I'm a 48-year-old man with gray hair, kind of bowed over and getting older all the time, but I ran a mile and a half yesterday on that machine.
That is very encouraging.
That's
wonderful. That's great.
You know, I may survive. I may get out of this life okay, you know. But fitness is a toughie. Are you good with fitness?
You know, I've had times where I was good with it and times where I'm not. Now what I've decided to do, it was so hard for me to find a time of day to squeeze it in.
Uh-huh.
And for me, it was I needed to get up a little earlier, you know, have my quiet time, and then I'll also have some fitness there. And what I've done is I've actually incorporated working out with my boys in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And spending the time to incorporate some family time and fitness together.
And see, that's that integration I think is very, very important. You know, if you can integrate family and faith, if you can integrate, which, by the way, happens when you're attending a family integrated church, like,
sure,
a helpful thing. Also, if you can, you know, have family worship, you can, again, integrate the family and the faith. I tell you, I grow a fair amount when I sit down and I have to work, you know, through a Bible passage and explain it to my kids and interact with some of their questions and then apply it as a family. So we work through some of our family Bible study guides together. I find that the wonderful time to integrate. But fitness is something, yeah, we could, I suppose, integrate as well. But it seems to me that I drop fitness because it's just a waste of time. That's the perception.
Sure.
What do you think? You think fitness is a waste of time?
I do the same thing. What we try to focus on is the urgent versus the important. So fitness isn't urgent. It's not a ringing phone. It's not an email or a leaky pipe that must be repaired.
Yeah.
But it's something that if you ignore over time, it really costs you in the long run. So, you know, the important part about setting goals, both short term and long term, is trying to delineate and differentiate and do the important things daily and not be distracted with the urgent or the more interesting, if you will, but you must do the important things.
Do you think, Eric, you are more alert, more efficient, more effective at the things that you do with your family and with your finances when you work out?
You know, I don't think there's any question about it. I would have to answer that in the affirmative.
Then why don't you do it every day?
You're kidding me. I'm up to like 4 days a week now.
Yeah. You're doing better than me, Eric. You're doing better than me.
Not much at all. Yeah, I think I went to Colorado and played basketball and came in and realized this is not good. It's bad when the first shot you're gasping for air. So we're like, we've got to get better shape here. So it made a big difference. So you know, going out and encouraging to do things with my son, and when they get a little older and they can outrun you easily, it's been great. So just trying to get in better shape. And I'm not talking about becoming a renowned athlete, but just be fit.
You know, just
where you can do things and function and
right,
and increase your longevity and your fitness level.
And one thing I remind myself all the time is I've got to keep these things in balance because I'm living my life for Christ. I'm really wanting to give Jesus the best kind of life I can possibly give him and do him the very best service I can do him during these, you know, brief time I'm here on earth. I'm going to enjoy an eternity eventually, but, you know, I mean, I'm spending X number of years here, hopefully doing the business that Jesus wants me doing. And I keep telling myself one of the best ways to do that is keep yourself in good fitness. Let me move on to friends, though. I don't want to spend a huge amount of time on any one of these things, but friendships are important. I don't think people maintain their friendships very well these days.
Right.
And I'm not talking about texting people 600 times a day. That's not maintaining a friendship. That's just texting, you know, back and forth to people, not really building relationships. But how do you best invest time into friendships?
What we try to do is we pick a night a week that we like to have at least, you know, at least one night a week. We'll have a group of people over for dinner. And we found that to be a great way to sit around and to talk and to get to know each other. We also typically have a meal, one other day a week and fellowship meals after church. So just trying to get to know people, in different circles. People in business will have over to the house for dinner. Just thinking of ways to call people, meet them for coffee. But just trying to be proactive and maintain some friendships. And that's an area that can easily be squeezed as well.
Yeah.
So just trying to say, you know, to be purposeful in that area.
Well,
and to be a good friend.
And I hope that families take that seriously, because I think hospitality plays a very important part in the life of any family economy. And if families aren't engaging in hospitality on a regular basis, and as you recommended, a weekly basis, I think they're losing out on something. I think they're probably not building the kind of friendships they ought to be building, and they're probably putting a lot more time into entertainment and into maybe their finances, but not really paying attention to the important things in life, and that includes friendships. You know, it's interesting that you don't include entertainment on this list.
You know, I think if you have that, it really is going to cut into everything else. And of course, with spending time with my family, for me, that's entertainment.
Yeah.
And
I've been with your family.
Not to say that we don't do something that, you know, that's of that nature, but it's really a component that falls into the other areas.
And you know, ultimately sitting and drooling at the television set for 4.5 hours every night is probably a waste of time. And families that do that probably aren't going to be building good family economies and maintaining good balance in the area of faith, family, Bible time, worship, building relationships, hospitality, and the sorts of things that God wants us doing as families. Pretty hard to build a halfway decent family economy when entertainment plays a huge part in your life. My guess is if we interviewed, a sample size of 100 family economies, representing the Family Economic Conference that's coming up here in St. Louis, Missouri in a few months, you wouldn't find too many families that say, yeah, well, you know, we just hang out as a family and watch TV for 2.5 hours every night.
No, it's just so much time. It's such a waste. And even what you watch, even beyond the waste of time, it's not edifying.
Yeah. Okay, Eric. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time to complete the whole thing, but you've got a book coming out on the 4 F's, Faith, Family, Fitness, Finance, and Friends. And what's the name of the book? You got an idea for the title for the book?
Well, we have a couple of different ideas. We're passing back and forth, and I'm working with the editor as far as a final title, and I think we'll have that in about 3 weeks. And our target date is for the book is early March.
Great. And Eric Weir will be presenting on these things and having his resources available at the Family Economics Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, coming up, friends, in May of 2013. And remember, now is the time to register if you want the early registration rate. I believe that shuts off in about 2 weeks from now. So if you want to get in under the wire for that early registration rate for the mega conference, by the way, it's a 4-day conference this time. We're talking about all sorts of things, homeschooling, family discipleship, and family economics. We're also going to see Joel Salatin there. I think Doug Phillips is coming, R.C. Sproul Jr., Eric Weir, as I mentioned, and also myself at the Family Economics Conference coming up in May of 2013. Register at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com. Eric, thanks again for joining us on Generations.
It's my pleasure.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool.
but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And folks, today we're talking about family economies, something that we have incorporated into the vision of our organization, the Generations organization, for the last 4 to 5 years. And as most of you know, we have been into integrating the family into education for, well, for me, nigh into 40 years, since my parents were homeschooling us back in the 60s and 70s. So the vision of integrating the family back into education and reestablishing the family as involved and responsible for the education of their children was something that was part of the vision from the beginning for us. But now we've expanded it into more of a family economy vision. That is, the family should pull together and act as a team in the family economy. You find this over 6,000 years of world history until the last 100 years, where children were turned over to corporations and eventually to governments by means of the child labor laws and the compulsory attendance laws. But prior to that, families worked together. You had David feeding his father's sheep. Rachel was feeding her father's sheep. Rebecca was feeding her father's sheep in the Bible. You also find Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers. You don't find this fractured, fragmented, individualized life that has emerged in the last 150 years, which has destroyed our social systems, destroyed the family as an integral social unit in the present day. Well, to talk with me about this is Bill Roach, who is president of the Generations Organization. He's president, chairman of the board, and he has been involved in, what, Bill, 18 years? I mean, man, it was back in the 90s when you got started with this.
Yeah, in 1991, I actually started my first insurance business and brought my family into mm-hmm. that, too.
You were homeschooling early
yes.
on.
Yes. Yeah, we were homeschooling family from the early 90s, and I was trying to build a business and start homeschooling all at the same time.
Which and so, and you joined Christian Home Educators of Colorado in 95. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've been involved in the leadership there for 17 years. Well, Bill, you got the vision. You wanted to get involved in a family economy, and you started building it back in the 90s.
Yeah. You know, I was trying, as I was thinking about my own family background, I didn't have much. My father worked for the government. Most of my family were government workers, which isn't a bad thing, but there wasn't any entrepreneurial spirit necessarily. I actually was probably the first one in my family to branch out and start a business on my own, which took a tremendous amount of faith. We moved back to Colorado. We moved very close to my in-laws so that we would have support from my extended family, because I was going to start a business. My wife was going to start homeschooling. All of this was happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, man, there's some struggles ahead, but it was something that we really believed that God wanted us to do, to have some flexibility.
Bill, looking back, do you think that the family economy was important for your family? I mean, it did change you as a family? Did it change your children?
Yeah, I believe it did. You know, at first I didn't necessarily come home. I had my business away from home. But as the years went on, I realized that I needed to come home more. And so as I brought the business ideas home and we started other businesses that were going to be centered around the home, it brought a lot of strength to the home. You know, you're going to struggle at work or you're going to struggle at the house. I think struggling at home was a better idea.
Did your daughters? I mean, obviously it affected your daughters because I know they didn't go to college.
Right.
But somehow they've been integrated into your family economy over the years.
Right.
How did they take that? I mean, how did this vision form them?
Yeah, you know, we started a business with the girls. Mainly, really, it was a math project and a household budget just to learn how to manage a budget. I thought, well, why don't we just give them a small business? Then they'll learn how to about buying and selling and looking at Proverbs 31. We saw, this woman did this. So I think it formed them to have a better understanding of working in the world. being part of a part of the world, realizing they were going to run a household themselves. Mm-hmm. So we were teaching them all the basics of family economics, I mean, how to run a household. And a business just seemed to make sense.
Do you think it would have been different for your daughters if you had sent them to college, they got college degrees, and they began their own careers, you know, at 23, 24, 25 years of age, and then what? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. I think people are struggling with those issues.
Yeah.
How do you prepare your daughters for life? And I think there's a lot of Christian parents that do send their kids to college, their daughters to college. They don't particularly want their daughters to be, you know, 47 years old with no kids, no marriage, you know, not really knowing why they're doing what they're doing in life and just kind of wandering around the corporate world looking for the next promotion. I mean, I think there are parents out there thinking maybe that's not the right thing to do. But how, you know, how do we prepare our daughters for life? And is the family economy important to that end? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, and I think the integration part is the most important thing. When they go off to college and they're starting on their own career path, they lose the integration. They see themselves as an individual that's going to fit how they're going to fit into the world. But you keep when you bring it home, you bring the family integration part to it. They understand that there are going to be others around them, and I think that's what helped my girls the most.
Right, but there are challenges. I mean, it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. The family economy wasn't easy.
No,
yeah. I don't think anything's easy. You know, I don't think getting your first job is easy.
No,
but the family economy is not easy.
You know, the first time I came home and I was sitting at my desk and the phone rang. And I was answering the phone, and all of a sudden another phone rang for my son was on another conversation, and my daughters were on another conversation, and my wife was taking care of the little ones, and all of a sudden I realized, wow, there's five different things going on in this room right now. Can I handle this? I was used to being in an office by myself, and the phone rang, and I answered it and took care of the business, but now I was going to have to deal with everything. But yeah, there are struggles at home, but there's struggles at work too.
Well, I think you know, you when you're dealing with family economies, you've got a struggle with the family, but there's also a struggle in the corporate world as well. And if you're working in the corporate world, your heart is going to be more tied to the corporate vision than it will be to the family economic vision. So that's going to be a difference.
Yeah. And I think also what you have is your heart. When your heart comes home, these are your children. This is your wife. This is the future generations. Your grandchildren are going to come out of there. You have more vision and desire for this to work. Because, you know, the corporation, yeah, it's going to give you your paycheck, but that corporation is going to go on by itself and not necessarily involve you. But your family's forever.
Yeah. Now, you work your family economy with multiple income streams. So,
yes.
And this is one thing we encourage because we don't want people to get the idea that, you know, they have to quit the corporate job and get one income stream going in the family, buy a farm, 40 acres, try to make it work. We're saying, hey, you know, if you've got a job out in the world somewhere, why not add another 3-4 income streams and involve your family in this? And so you have multiple income streams, and that's been helpful for your family economy.
Absolutely.
Sometimes some are slow and sometimes some are faster.
Right. And it was a gradual thing. And I think what we learned, first of all, the best principle we learned is God wanted us to work for 6 days.
Yeah.
This idea of a 9-to-5, you go off and do your job, that went away pretty quickly when the family economy. And I'm not saying we burned, you know, we were working our fingers to the bone, never playing. But we did understand that work was something that was going to happen a good bit of the day. And so all these multiple streams helped to develop that vision towards that end.
Yeah. And your son's got his own business.
Yeah, he does.
And he works it out of the house.
He does. Yeah.
Does the rest of the family contribute at all to his business?
Yeah, we're all involved. Mm-hmm. Even in my business, the girls are involved in helping me. You've got to have that flexibility. So they may be doing work for me in the morning and work for him in the afternoon.
Wow.
And maybe even answering phones for both businesses at the same
man.
Time.
Wow.
So you have to have a tremendous amount of flexibility. But that integration really helps. And the girls gain a lot of confidence. I mean, you think about raising 8 children. You better be flexible. You better be able to answer one question here and another one over here. That's what a mother's going to do in a normal day.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better prepared because of the family economy and the multiple streams. better prepared them for the future.
Yeah. Efficiency-wise, I think some people think that the corporate world would allow for more efficiency, and there's a form of efficiency provided by the corporate world, no question about it. What about the family economy? Can you develop an efficiency about the family economy?
Yeah, the efficiency that I like is the ability to turn quickly. Okay. We can change directions quickly within the family economy. If this stream is a little bit weak, we can strengthen this stream over here, or we can start a new one altogether. Mm-hmm. In the corporate world, you don't get that. You're pretty much, you're set in the direction that they're taking you, and maybe you can bring some changes, maybe you can bring some new ideas, but it takes a whole lot longer to go through multiple layers of boards and vice presidents and presidents. When in the family, you can change a lot quicker and you can respond to the economic conditions. And we've seen that especially over the last 5 years.
Bill, it seems like your family is pretty busy most of the time. My guess is it's humming. How do you keep tensions down?
That's probably one of the biggest struggles of all.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a pulse on that time that, my wife sometimes has a better pulse.
Yeah.
On that than I do, because I get pretty focused on the business side of it.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to shut it down for a day, for days. We go on small vacations if we feel like we need it. And the flexibility of having these multiple streams of income, we don't have to go, for a 2-week vacation and plan it, eight years ahead of time.
Yeah.
In the corporate world, sometimes you have to do. We can take that flexibility and work that in. So I think you have to be able to shut it down. You play together. You have meals together. I mean, just having lunch together reduces tension.
Yeah.
And you have dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to struggle just like everybody else is, but I think the flexibility of having these multiple streams of income and having a little bit more income sometimes can help that.
Well, are there any traps that you'd like to point out to people who are listening to the program? I'm sure people are saying, wow, we would like to build more of a family economy ourselves, integrate the family, and mentor and disciple our young boys and young girls in life and in work in our own homes. But are there traps that people ought to be aware of?
Yeah, there's going to be traps all along the way. I think one of them is to think that just because you physically come home, that doesn't mean that you brought your heart home.
Yeah.
And I had to struggle through that one myself. I was physically home for a while, but my heart wasn't necessarily home. That's for sure is one of them. You can be so busy that, life can consume you and the business can consume you. So there is some advantages to going away to this is where work is, and then you come home and this is where home is. We're mixing those constantly.
Right.
So you have to be careful in prioritizing your time, prioritizing your life, because now your next room is your study and it's your office.
Now, a big picture, you're president of the Generations Organization, chairman of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Bill, how important do you think this is? I mean, you know the kinds of things we talk about. You know about our vision for home discipleship, for family discipleship. You know about what we talk about politically in this nation and why it's important to decentralize control over things and a pro-life vision, a pro-family vision, and a vision for freedom and families taking responsibility for themselves and so forth and so on. How important do you think the family economy concept is for the vision?
At the end of the day, the relationships that we build are what's going to carry us to the end,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in church or a family. Homeschooling has taught us that we've got to bring those relationships home. We've got to build the relationships between parent and child. That's what homeschooling did for us. The family economy just deepens that and makes it even stronger. But I think the key is the relationships. All this discipleship that we're doing is to keep relationships. The world is constantly pressing us to forget about relationships, dump them, throw off your marriage, throw off your children. It doesn't matter. Go take your iPod and just go off on your own little world.
Yeah.
What we're trying to build is relationships in the church, relationships in the family, a husband and wife relationship is the very first one that's got to work.
Yeah, and this may be one good way to do it. It may not be the best way for everybody,
right.
And somebody may try to apply homeschooling or family economics in their own home and find that it doesn't work because the heart wasn't there, as you said. The heart has to be there. It may be a great means by which to bring about the discipleship,
right,
and the mentorship and the powerful forms of relationship building that we talk about on this program. It may be a wonderful way to do this. It may not be a guarantee for everybody who tries it. So I think that's what we're doing. We're just trying to find ways to bring these things back in a lost and lonely world where people have lost relationship. People have lost discipleship. Character is hardly being nurtured in homes, in family economies across this country today. And it's devastating, devastating to the macro economy and to hundreds of millions of families across the developed world. So, I think we are trying to change culture, entire socioeconomic systems. But what's funny, Bill, is it happens one family at a time. You know, this isn't something we can do with, one fell swoop, one signature of the president's on some, legal bill that he's signing in at the White House. So this is something that has to happen one family at a time who gets the vision and begins to disciple their children as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down.
When God places a child within the womb of the mother, you know that that's your responsibility. There is no doubt when that child comes out and it's your responsibility. And I think that Jesus spoke. Well, the things that was one of the most precious things to Jesus was his relationship with his father. He was concerned about relationships. He was going to do the will of his father. And we've got to train ourselves, our children, our church, our family, that relationships are important.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the family economics concept, I think, is very, very important. It's a wonderful opportunity in which we can bring some wonderful biblical concepts to bear. And if you're interested in this vision, check out our website, familyeconomics.com. On the web, also, we have our Family Economics Conference scheduled for May of 2013 out in St. Louis, Missouri. So don't forget to check that out. And there are some early registration rates you want to check out at familyeconomics.com. Bill Roach, thanks again for joining us on Generations.
Thank you, Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by calling 877-520-9510. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.